Today is Sunday, April 7th, 2024. 2 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan and 2 weeks before Leil HaSeder. Our doctor, we have wonderful doctors in Israel, but among the doctors' concerns where we are for the Seder, elderly people, not too much tension. So I told the doctor, Baruch Hashem, we have a daughter living nearby. And the fact that I know how to learn a little bit makes Pesach preparations easier. I always quote Rabbi Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, who said and wrote and published that women kill themselves too much for Pesach. Pirurim abetelim umavutalim. And then I always say, could you imagine, I'm telling my wife, honey, don't worry about the crumbs on the floor. They don't count. I better have my life insurance paid up. Okay. Today is, we gave the date already, just let me begin. Unfortunately, the news this morning was terrible. Another 4 more tzaddikim killed. And the worst part is, this is an area of Gaza that we cleared up already. We fought, we lost lives, we claimed it's clear. And again, they pop out of the tunnel and kill, and then they go back in again. Achinu kol beit Yisrael natunim b'tzara b'shiv yom dim b'ein b'yam b'ein b'shav v'ein v'avir hamokim yirachem aleihem. I just want to apologize to everyone. It's beyond my control. I had a lot of Akmas Nefesh this morning. I come in and Yomo informs me our email account is closed. Excuse me? The Zoom account, excuse me. I don't understand all this. And we've done some emergency work this morning, and I'm now, if I understand correctly, broadcasting on the frequency of Rabbi Bednash. And Professor Tarragon sent out an email giving everyone the new link. And I depend, Yomo, listen carefully, work it out today and work out with Professor Tarragon where the link will be for tomorrow, because tomorrow a lot more people will be interested in hearing the Chad Pami, the Shir, once in a lifetime, on how Anglo Torah came to be in the state of Israel. I also, simply to save time, I couldn't dictate any emails this morning, but Lazar from Borough Park, I owe him an answer, and I just want to tell him that Rabbi Ziegler, I happen to know, not only know, we were related. My mother, Bezivik Sheni, after my father died, married Reb Moshe Appelbach from Borough Park, and I believe he was Rabbi Ziegler's uncle. And two fabulous individuals. How is Rabbi Ziegler today? I see him occasionally when I'm at the Tarragon's for Leil Shabbat. I daven with his minion, and he seems okay, but age is age, and we're all under the wire today. Regarding my books, again, everyone asks me where to get them. I don't sell my own books, and I don't touch money. All the Rakafat Aron, any money that comes in on them is dedicated to tzedakah. Everything goes to help Russian causes right now. We want to help support a Beit Medrash. We're at night learning Beit Medrash, which is comprised almost entirely of Yotzei Soviet Russia, the former Soviet Empire, and that's where all the money that comes in goes. There are 4 volumes in circulation. They're now available in the United States. Rabbi Aryeh Katzin would be the person to contact. Rabbi Katzin is my first student from Moscow, January 1981. Today he's my right hand in Russian activity. If you have any question how to reach him, RAGE, Russian American Jewish Experience, is his organization. And you can reach him through RAGE, or you can get his direct email from my dear Talmud Yomo Yosef Mordechai Gachman. The other volumes, Washington, Silva, and Revel, are all published, the latest editions, by the OU. The 2 volumes that basically I have no control over whatsoever, unfortunately, are the 2 volumes on the Rav. And that was published by Ktav, and I had a wonderful relationship with Bernie Shopstein. He was the easiest and finest individual to work with as far as publishing. And he later, again, we all grow older, he sold out, he's no longer alive, Zichrono Livracha. And I have no relationship whatsoever with Ktav of today. But if you contact them, they do have new printings of the Rav available, and you should be able to get it from them. I wish I could be more helpful, but Adkan. Now, a number of comments, very important, because this is our last year, basically, before to left the Pesach. Tomorrow's a special year. And Yehudit Cohn, who's been my Talmidah for years from Baltimore, wrote something very interesting to me. I wanted to tell you that on my block there is a woman whose name is Mrs. Leah Open, who was the editor for Rav Menashe Klein. In other words, I've often wondered how he has such wonderful modern Hebrew in his tshuvot, and now we have the answer. He evidently has someone who is of Israeli origin, living in Baltimore, who edited his writings. Okay. An interesting comment, Mike Schatz, we were talking, I think it was on last Monday's class, about the Zechariah Frankel and Darkei HaMishnah, and the whole concept of historic development. And he writes to me regarding Louis Finkelstein, President Finkelstein of the seminary, Chancellor, regarding Louis Finkelstein's attitude towards Torah Shabbat Peh and historical development. This is based on a conversation I had when I was around Bar Mitzvah age over 50 years ago, so take it for what it is worth. He did believe in Torah Shabbat Peh from Sinai, but also that various ideas from the cultures among whom we were in exile for so long had also crept in, and that careful scholarship could separate them. So it's an interesting comment. Halacha l'maisa, I don't exactly know what it means, but you can take it. But Louis Finkelstein, on a personal level, we shum a mitzvah 100%. I can testify to that. And he has descendants living in Israel, Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. His father was a Rav in Brooklyn, a Yudapayish Rav, Rav Shimon Finkelstein, if I recall his first name correctly. And there was a lot of traditionalism in Louis Finkelstein. He and Rav Shaul Lieberman and Professor Heschel, there's no question that they could have very well, or would have very well, fit into the greater YU picture, at least the YU picture of the 30s, 40s, 50s, Bernard Revel Graduate School. Louis Finkelstein would have fit into the graduate school without any difficulty. Professor Heschel, the philosopher, would have been an interesting member of the graduate school faculty. Rav Shaul Liebman, of course, was a Gaon Adir, and he would have already could have very well crossed the river Bernard Revel, Reitz Bernard Revel, etc. And again, I repeat, the problem was Professor Kaplan, and I've done a lot of research. If we could have only figured out what to do with him 100 years ago, the whole story would have been different. But that's life, if it's the biggest word in the dictionary. And today, the conservative movement is basically reform. There's very little difference, if any, between mainstream conservative and mainstream reform. Now, I want to come back to the question we dealt with a few weeks ago about the young man wanting to go to his own yeshiva. Does he have to listen to his father? And we saw not only Reb Menashe Klein, but a Truma Tadeshin, and absolutely freedom of choice, and I added a little spice to it, Tsar de Gufa, and that, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, marrying the woman you want, the profession you want, I think I'm on very solid ground. Certainly Mori Rebbe, the Rav, I believe would agree with me 100%. A Talmud sent me an Igrot Moshe. Now this Igrot Moshe is from 2011. It may very well be the last volume that was published in the name of Reb Moshe. The volumes that come after his death, again, you have to know how reliable these volumes are, but let's assume everything here is correct. I'm quoting from the 2011 volume. I'm quoting from the Oradea section, Siman Lamed Aleph. It's a very brief tshuva. We don't know to whom. We don't have a date. The tshuva is not more than two little paragraphs. And it's this exact question. Ha'av ha'melev no she'dumol b'mokam she'choshev she'atah tov lefanev lumol. V'ha'ben rotze lumol b'mokam acheah. Kishashneicha mekomot heim b'derech ha'torah v'yirat Hashem. And they're both equal. In other words, again, it's the problem that came up with where someone wants to go to YU, and his rebbeim object, his parents object. I know cases like that. I can tell you something in honor of tomorrow, and this is a true story that's unbelievable. When I think back about my life, it's one of those, one of the top 10 stories. I get a call from my grandson who's learning in Merkaz Harav. It's many years ago. And my grandson says to me, Saba, there's someone here who would like to meet you. He thinks you're the Gadol Hadar. And, oh. And he puts the person on and I invite him, I meet with him, and I couldn't believe the story he told me. He's from London at the time. Today he lives in Israel many years. And he was growing up right after the Six-Day War and wanted to study in BMT. He heard about this new school at a yeshiva, Zionist, proud of Israel, and his father said no and sent him to a right-wing yeshiva in England. I don't know if it was Gateshead or elsewhere, but there were a few places in England, and the end result was this individual totally rebelled. Threw it away, wound up being a businessman, and someone put him in touch with YU Torah and someone named Rakefet. And it shook him up, and he started to come back. And now he started doing business in Israel. And he was very close to the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav. I believe at this time it was either Reb Yaakov or his son, Reb Avram Shapiro, or his son Reb Yaakov. And he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, could be it's Rav Avraham, and he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, can you send me a student who knows English well? I have to sign a contract that involves a lot of money, and I want to be sure I understand the Hebrew perfectly. So the Rosh Yeshiva sends him this kid who's totally at home in English and Hebrew, and he explains everything, he signs the contract, and he says to this young man, come, let's go to the cafe across the street and drink a l'chaim, thank you for your help. And then he asks this kid, how is it, where were you born? The kid says, Jerusalem. How do you know English so well? So the kid says, well, my grandparents came from the States and they spoke English to my mother and spoke English to me. What does your grandfather do? And this kid, well, you wouldn't know him. He teaches. Where does he teach? And he hears the name and he goes, Baruch Hashem. And we renewed. I met him for the first time, but for him it was meeting someone he knew inside out. And the rest is history. He does wonderful things for Torah today in the state of Israel. So you see, where do you learn? Where do you go? And Reb Moshe Paskins, he knows the Ramah, he knows the Truma Tradition. He says, no, you have to listen to your parents. Well, I don't want to say I disagree with Reb Moshe. Who am I to disagree with Moshe? But I'll put it a little bit more elegantly. I wouldn't paskin this way. But Reb Moshe adds something which may explain his viewpoint. He adds the fact that this is when the child is young. Age seems to be the main factor. That when the child is young, at that point, dayan lo higil madregat adam gadol bishanim. And if that's the case, Reb Moshe says, you still need chinuch, you still need advice, you still have to listen to your parents. So this is Reb Moshe, and I just want to cite it, and I thank the Talmud who sent it to me, because it's exactly the same Shaila, but a little bit of a different twist. But if the age is the factor, we can understand it well. Okay. Now, I also want to mention that on the story that I quoted from the Sylvie era of the person wanting to come to What's YU today, and Reb Ochanan refuses and only will write a letter of recommendation to Teira Vadas, not to the Chicago yeshiva, not to YU in New York, who was this person? And here I got a beautiful letter from a Talmud, Leza Abramovitz, from Borough Park. And I have a special kinship when I found out who he is. It's his mother, Zichrona Levracha, Zelda, who appears in the video, the documentary, A People Apart. A Life Apart, he says it's called. I recall it People Apart, but maybe it's A Life Apart. It was done by a YU graduate. It won many awards. A terrific documentary. As I recall, it was 1999 that it came out. It's probably available on YouTube. And it's his mother who's interviewed in the store. And Malk and I have been in that store in Borough Park. We recognized her from the store. And she was the one who said, my generation was different than today. We could never talk back to our parents. We could never say no. That's so powerful. To me, it's overwhelming. It catches that generation, what they went through. But my children say no to me. Well, I hope Laser didn't say no too many times to his mother. But he writes to me that the Talmud that Reb Ochanan wrote a letter for to Teira Vadas was Reb Ochanan Yosef Hertzman. I should say Hartzman, I believe it was pronounced. And I have his volume. He wrote a volume. He was saved not through Rav Ochanan, not through Torah Vadas, not through YU, but he was saved through Shanghai. He was part of the Shanghai crowd. And he wrote a volume that I'll quote when I deal with the Mir Yeshiva on the Neis Hatzalah of Mir Yeshiva via Shanghai. And I knew his name all along, but I never knew that he was the one that had requested this help. And it turned out, Baruch Hashem, Rav Hatzalah Yamdu Yehudim B'Makom Acher, he was able to save himself through Shanghai. Now, I believe this is all that I owe answers to. Where did we end off last week? And I want to pick up where we ended. And the first part of this year is very, very important. It's been quoted and re-quoted. I think it's the most widely quoted lines that the Chazon Ish ever wrote. And we're dealing here with Chelek Tet Siman Reish Tet Zayin. Chelek Tet Siman Reish Tet Zayin. And the question here is a very delicate question. You're angry at the Mechallelei Shabbos, and you want to make a point. And again, the details are not clear. He just alludes to it. But let's assume they want to make a takana in the shul. Anyone who's Mechallel Shabbos cannot get an aliyah. Or maybe they want to make a takana, anyone who's Mechallel Shabbos cannot daven for the Yomid. And you're dealing here, well, I showed you the sources last week, black and white, you can make takanot and make haramim and make niduyim, and you don't have to consider results. However, halacha l'maisa, the chatam seifa, no one will accuse the chatam seifa of being liberal on questions like this. After all, you heard my lectures 40, 50, 60 years ago, Chadash Asum in HaTorah, and the Chatam Sofer was fighting a tremendous battle. You know, in retrospect, when you go through the Chatam Sofer's writings and teachings, you see he's not extreme in the sense that he's portrayed, but he was fighting a tremendous battle against the Reform. And when you fight a battle, sometimes you have to draw a line in the sand. But I showed you the tshuva last week. We ended off the class that even the Chatam Sofer was hesitant to go all the way on questions like this. Because b'sofa shel davar, you don't know what the future holds. And you need a lot of seichel, a lot of siyata d'shmaya. Do you make a stand? Don't you make a stand? How far do you go? And this question has haunted us, as I've told you and as I've lectured extensively. Austria, Germany, 1876, the Prussian Parliament. Did Rav Hirsch do the right thing in declaring that Torah Jews can have nothing to do with Mechallelei Shabbos, Ochlei Nevelet and Treifet, Boel Bilat Asurot? The Wurzburger Rav differed with him. The Netziv differed. You all know that from the Monday class. It's a delicate question. On the other hand, had Rav Hirsch not made that stand, perhaps Orthodoxy in Germany wouldn't have had its rebirth. It would have been lost. You're friendly with them. You drink with them. You eat with them. You dance with them. Nu, Shalom al Yisrael. I can tell you the Rav, one time, there's the public Rav and there's the Rav when he would let his hair down. When he was among the Queen's Mafia, he was totally at home. Totally let his hair down. So one time, it may have even been in the Holzer home in Queens, the Rav raised this very question. Are we correct in going so far? Perhaps if the Chatam Sofer had not been so strident, the Nialog wouldn't have developed. Or perhaps the opposite. If he hadn't been strident, Nialog, that's in Hungary, it's like conservative Judaism. had he not been so strident, the Neolog would have conquered all of Hungary. And this is Dinei Nefashot. The synagogue council, America, New York Board of Rabbis, these questions haunt us. Limud, I can go on. And although I personally am more inclined to be right-wing, nevertheless, I understand Rabbi Lam very well. When Rabbi Lam said, I have a chance to teach reforming conservative Jews, then I shouldn't. So this question haunts us. Now, here's where it comes up in the Chazon Ish. And let me begin at the beginning. It's a very famous Gemara. You can actually do an entire master's thesis or more on this question. Chafavam Avodah Zarah. Let me give you the Gemara first. I am saying Chafavam Et Aleph. Chafavam Et Aleph 26a Avodah Zarah. Right at the bottom. And the Gemara says, this is a very nasty Gemara. You can imagine how censorship dealt with it. Ha'ovdei kochovim v'roei behema daka lo malin v'lo morin. And, alright, I don't have to read the Steins, I have to read the English, it's quite easy to explain. Gentiles, or shepherds. Now, what's Gentiles you're talking? Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Shepherds, you're talking professional thieves, because they have sheep, goats, and Roei Behem Medaka. They graze all over the place. So they're robbing from people, they're professional robbers. Ad Kedei Kach, the Chazal were upset with them, that Chazal said, I quote, Lo Ma'alin V'lo Moridin. What does this mean? Lo Ma'alin V'lo Moridin. So let me read to you what Schottenstein, what Artscroll says. That is, in earlier times, if an opportunity arose to kill one of these people by lowering him into a pit, it was seized. Wow. What's going on here? Kill? Are they chayav mita? But you see, and you all are, I trust, are familiar with this. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yevamot as well, I believe, twice in Shas, that but they didn't have a right to punish, go way beyond the letter of the law. They have every right to establish the reign, law to have a kingdom that will have law, will be legally just. You can't have thieves marching around and destroying life. Since the criminals mentioned here shattered the bounds of normative society and threatened its very fabric, extremely harsh measures had to be taken against them. So could you imagine that someone who's a shepherd, someone who's a Gentile, an idol worshipper, Moridin, or let me quote it exactly, Lo Malin V'lo Moridin. What does it mean? You don't go out of your way to save them. If they're in a pit and they want to get out, you don't break open the pit and pull them out. If they're above ground, you don't push them into the pit. Avol haminim v'ha mesorot v'ha mumarim hayu moridin v'lo ma'alim. Wow. But Jews that were minim apikarsim, Just think what we're talking about. Famous Jewish names. Barbara Streisand. Just autobiography, I've quoted some choice paragraphs from it. Every type of tafis, shkatzim, remushim, everything mentioned in Pasad Shmini, she eats. Chil Shabbos, you all know the story with the Stephen Hall, that he hung up the phone on her and she called him, and yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Stephen Hall, so he stopped me. Yentl, you're familiar with Yentl? Who plays the role of the father of the bride? Stephen Hall. Stephen Hall was famous from Stephen Hill. What was he famous from?
He was Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. Right. Right. So he became a tremendous Shema Torah mitzvah, a square of chassan. His sister, Zichrona Levracha, was a good friend of ours. She lived in Jerusalem with her husband. Her husband was an RJJ graduate, Weiss, I think was the family name. Oh, we were friendly. And she would regale us with stories. So one of the best stories is but when they were working on Yentl, Barbara Streisand put her whole life into that movie, Memory of Her Father. Would have done a lot better to undertake Kashrut and Shabbat in memory of her father. But all right, she never asked me. So she calls him, and it's Saturday night in Muncie, and he answers the phone, he looks at his watch, he says, Barbara, it's Shabbos in Beverly Hills in California. How can you call now? And he slams the phone down on her. So you understand, you, who we talk, Blinken. Blinken, his kids are Goyim. Nides, his kids are Goyim. What this? Mumarim, Mosrag, people who squeal on Jews. Kill them. One after another. And Moridin, Velomalin, not only don't lift them if they're down in the cave, push them into the cave. Wow. Quite a powerful Gemara. And this is the Rambam. On the basis of this Gemara, other Gemaras, the Rambam, in a number of different places, Paskins Lahalacha, quote the Rambam. Hilchot Mamrim Perik Imbel, beginning with Halacha Bet. Okay. Meyachashen it Pasem, Shehu Kofe B'Torah Shebal Peh, Moridin Oto, V'lo Ma'alin, V'harehu Kesha Kol Apikosim V'omrim Ein Torah Min Shemayim, V'hamosrim V'hamumarim, Shekol Eilu Einam B'chlal Yisrael, V'yein tzarich lo eidim v'lo hatra v'lo dayanim. And by the way, what I'm about to quote now, the census left out, it's only been put in modern times when the census can't touch it. Ela kol ha'oreg echad mehem asa mitzvah gedolah v'cheisiyah ha'michshol. Wow. Kill them. You stopped at a red light. No one is watching. I remember I was giving my grandsons a whole shiur on this, and I used this example. You stop at a red light, no one is looking. Step on the gas. Kill that Mechalo Shabbos crossing the street in front of you. And this is the Rambam Halacha Lemaisa, Psak Halacha, not only here. You can open up a Frankel Rambam and see three or four other cross-references where the Rambam says the same thing, and it's all based upon the Gemara in Aveda Zara. All right. Now I want to ask you, are you happy about this? Does it accomplish? Does it satisfy? And this is a very delicate question. This is the Rambam. This is not the esoteric sefer. This is not some esoteric mind. You're dealing here with maybe the greatest Jewish mind since Moshe Rabbeinu, Mimoshe, not Moshe, lo kam kamoshe. All right. The Rambam himself is troubled. And you just have to go halacha gimel, one halacha further. B'ma davarim amurim b'yishe kafa b'tovashim b'al peh b'machshavto u'davarim n'yishe n'irilo v'halacha chadakto hakala v'achas frirut libo v'kofa b'tovashim b'al peh t'chila k'tzadok u'beitut v'chein kol hato'im achar rav. So the Rambam says, who does this apply to? The original Apikoros. The first one. He was raised properly. The world was proper. And he on his own became an Apikoros. Okay. He, worthy of death. No place in this world. But that's only the first one. The founder. Avol b'nei ha-toim ha-eile u'v'nei v'neihem shehidichu otam avotam v'neldu b'in ha-karaim v'gadlu otam al-datam harehu k'nikal tinok sh'nishpa b'neihem v'gadluhu v'einu zariz le'echoz b'dachei ha-mitzvot shaharei hu ka'anus. And these words of the Rambam are overwhelming. Look, we're raised, a child is a blank tablet. And from birth on, a few months old, you start to influence that child. I just played with a great-granddaughter, 8 months old, yesterday. Wow, what a personality already. Well, you start to influence the child. Imagine 700,000 Jews in the Bronx, where when I grew up in the Bronx. Shabbat didn't exist. Kids are raised, barely any education. What are the role models? I can tell you endless stories of people who... All right, the classic joke says it all. You come into the butcher shop and you ask, are you kosher? And the butcher shows the pictures on the wall of his Zayden Bubba with long beards and hair covered. These are my grandparents. And of course the classic answer is, if your grandparents were standing here and your picture was on the wall, I would have no problem believing that you're kosher. But you see, you're raised. This is the mentality. People viewed, if you're Shomer Shabbos, it's like a hiddur mitzvah. It's not me'ika hadin. Worse than that, the Bronx was filled with Catholics, Italians, Irish. You absorbed their religion as well. And in their religion, you had a duality. You had a chasm. The priest, the nun, they had different observance. Right or wrong. Obedience. Poverty. Chastity. The average Catholic, no, he could do whatever he wants. Confess. Be given a few Hail Marys to do, and he's fine with God. See, that mentality influenced the Jews too. Who is Shema Mitzvah? Someone just wrote to me that they met a conservative rabbi today. And they asked the conservative rabbi and his wife, how many Shema Shabbat and Kashrut do you have in your temple? And they said, we, my wife and I, we're the only ones that are Shomer Shabbat and Kashrut. You follow, it becomes a mentality. The rabbi has to observe. The layperson doesn't observe. Now what are you going to do? These people, Chalas Shabbos, Ochlin, Levekim, Trefet, you're going to kill them? You're going to shoot them? You're going to run them over? They're Chayav Mita? They're really Apikarsim? Moridin V'yein Malin? Is this the way to go? It's the Rambam. 100% the Rambam. Look how you're raised. Look at the influence. Look what goes on around you. Look at the schooling you receive. Look at the education. And even when you sent the kid to yeshiva, to day school, so many times it backfired. You had teachers who, I'll never forget one incident that just shocks me to my inner core. And when this happened, how many years ago? 70 years ago. Sitting, I don't want to mention the name, in an advanced class. Yeshiva Sobitsko Hanan. And there's a kid in the class. He's the son of the Klein family, the owners of Barton's. All right. And the Rebbe, big London, but slaughtered by America. What Hitler did, killed 6 million, ruined the lives of another 4 to 5 million. What he would have been in Europe. And America frustrated. And one time he jumps on this Klein kid, didn't have the best head. This Klein kid was Benoni at best. And the kid jumps back at the Rebbe and says, it's all in Yiddish, but I'll say it in English, if I would have the Rebbe's mind, I would know all the answers. I can't doubt. I'm not as lucky. The kid was stupid enough to say, I don't have such a good mazel like the Rebbe when it comes to my mind. And the Rebbe got hysterical. Das heißt mazel, wenn ich hab, I'm living it in Yiddish, pardon me. If, wenn ich hab mazel, if I would have mazel, ich bin ayatata, I'm your father, running Barton's. And your father is here giving the shir. Do you understand the implication? And I was a kid of 16 at the time. And I you know, my ears. Teaching Torah. Being a London. I couldn't be bought off. I told you. I revealed all the secrets. At my age, I reveal all secrets. Irwin Shapiro wanted to support me for 2 years. Send me to Warren Buffett. Take a look what Gottesman just gave, his widow just gave $1 billion to Albert Einstein Medical School. No, I don't think I have a worse a head than Abraham Gottesman, than her late husband. Imagine, I give $1 billion to Gruss. Maybe we'd have good Zoom and I wouldn't have this Atmos Nefesh. But to learn Torah, to teach, to be machadesh, to analyze a tshuva, to recreate the lesson, Kenny, you can't give me enough $1 billion to equal the nachat. Do you understand what I'm saying? But imagine a kid So Rakefet, Rothkopf, it wasn't Rakefet yet. So Rothkopf walked away. Until today it bothers me. It's not simple. And in Chav Rachmanis, I don't want to go any further because I can tell you what happened to this Rebbe's family. You know. So I have a connection yet with the family, you should know. But I understand Rachmanis, what happened to him in America. It's sad. You understand? You come to I came to Israel, all right, I knew a little Hebrew. I know that feeling. All right. Then I mastered Hebrew, I was able to, and here there's more Rachmanis on you because it's a country of ingathering of exiles. It's a kibbutz goyer here. Today, when I look at my family, I'm the proudest person alive. But he in America, who recognized him? Who gave him credit? He could learn a world of a ganske wenn in Yiddish. And there's a whole history with why you afterwards, he went to court, they retired him, told him, the hat nicht kein Kanutenfeich, we don't have students anymore who can hear a shir in Yiddish. And not every kid can walk away. A kid can see a scene like that and he walks out. Ah, it's all a bluff. Doesn't count. Money is honey. The Western world. Let me get ahead. I went to Salanta. One grade behind me went on to become a great fashion designer. I don't even know his name. Laurent, you can correct Litz, I think was the original name. And a fashion designer, a homo, oh my gosh. Threw it all away. I had other classmates. Well, what became of them? Capable. Hollywood. Oh yeah. Nishta brekel Yiddishkeit. There's never, if they looked at the rebellion, they looked at the frustration. So, please. Yes, if someone becomes an apikoros, Korach, okay, maybe we can be angry at Korach. Maybe, you know why I'm saying maybe. Some of his children became Chozrim B'tshuva, his descendants. Okay, but someone raised, growing up, the environment, Chas v'chalila, to push them, to kill them, to slaughter them. And now the famous words of the Rambam. Lefichach roi lahachziron b'tshuva ulemoshcham b'divrei shalom ad sheyachzaru le'etchan ha-Torah. And you have to understand, even Golda Meir found out she's Jewish, no? Golda Meir, I told you the story more than once, it's overwhelming for me personally. She always was happy to throw it all away. Her father had a long beard, her mother covered her hair. Zionism in Russia, 1948 Rosh Hashanah, or 1949 Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, she was the ambassador. There, she was shaking the strength of Torah. Tens of thousands of Jews came to the synagogue for Yom Kippur to see the Israeli ambassador. And she stood, I have a picture, standing exactly there in the first, second, third time I was in Russia, maybe the first and second, the third time ready, was the original. Nothing had changed from when Golda was there. Then they fixed it up. And she was shaking. She said it was the only time in her life she was Mahaheret B'tshuva. In her autobiography she writes that. So you say, no, Golda, change. You know now what Torah is about. You know how it keeps us and protects us. But look at the Rambam. he was so insightful. The afapi sheshama achakach shehu yehudi ura'ah hayehudim v'datam harehu ka'anus sheharei gadluhu al ta'atam. That even though later on he's informed, he sees good Jews, it's very hard for him to come back. Habit. You grew up. You were educated. It is really an achievement if someone can shift gears in the middle of life. And I told you more than once, Uri Zohar to me represents the ultimate Baal Tshuva. Because here was a man in the middle of life, well into his 30s, early 40s already, so successful, so integrated. And his wife, she married a wise guy, an actor, a comic. What's happening? And I'll never forget his words, which have been repeated by many Baalei Tshuva on their own, that I had a wonderful education here, but the heart of my existence, they never taught me. Torah Hashem Tamima taught me Hebrew, taught me world history, taught me ancient languages, culture, Torah. Not a word. No. Someone in the middle of life to be able to break, that is an achievement. That's the Rambam. And he understood so well. It's very hard for them. Yeah, he met Jews. He saw Jews. But you can't shake your habit. And Lafikach, Rui Lahagziron b'tshuval, Mashchan b'divrei shalom, Ad sheyachzuru l'eitan ha-Torah. Okay, now that's the Rambam. And now I'll show you the Chazon Ish. And this Chazon Ish, it's halacha l'maisa. I don't see any other way for us to live. Chazon Ish to Yoredeya Hilchat Shechita, Siman Bet, Hilchat Shechita, Siman Bet, subdivision, right at the end of subdivision Tet Zion. Now, and here the Rambam says, the Chazon Ish quotes the Rambam, it's all based upon the Rambam. How does this come to Hilchat Shechita? Because in Hilchat Shechita, you're dealing with what about if an apikoros is shechet. So that's how he gets involved in this halacha. V'nira di'ein din moridin ala bizman shashkachato yitbarach gluya. Kimo bizman shehayu nisim mitzuyon umemashmishamesh batkol v'tzadikei hadar tachet hashkacha pratit hanirin hanireit la'ein kol. Wow. And you see, when did this halacha apply that a person's an apikoros that you have to get rid of him? When the hashkacha is hashkacha gluya. When there's a batko. When you see the Gedolei Yisrael, something special, miraculous. Well, do we see it today? We've gone through the Holocaust. Can a Jew remain firm after what he went through? How much was written? God died at Auschwitz, right or wrong? How many people gave it all up? Afterwards, we had some miracles. Part of the miracle is that very movie I referred to, People Apart. You recall the movie? Jack Gold, I think his name was, had a candy business. He went through the hell. Met his wife in a DP camp. Two survivors. He didn't want to have anything to do with Yiddishkeit. Could you blame him? I told you, I was taught that at an early age in my shul on Arthur Avenue. I told you, the guy who came to Davin, and the rumor was that his wife, whenever she made chicken soup, poured some milk in. So I remember I was a wise aleck kid. I went to speak to the rabbi. Why don't we say something? And the rabbi said, don't say a word. Matonish Sagan Avot. Do fashtay. You don't understand what these people went through. You weren't there. And Jack Goldie. And then his wife is pregnant. And she says to him, what are we going to do? We're going to raise our children as goyim? Give Hitler another victory? And she said, no, we have to run a Jewish home. And from that, his kids wind up going to BTA, Brooklyn Talmudical Academy, go back, become Hasidim again, like their father. And there's a beautiful scene in that movie, in that documentary, where they're dancing on Hanukkah, and the children and grandchildren are all in Hasidic garba, and they're all dancing. And the kids say to the documentary and to the person doing the documentary, we look at our father not the way he looks now, in a regular suit, a short jacket. We see him in his Hasidic clothes as a youngster. That's the way we view him. It's a very, very powerful movie. But this is the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, you see, when the Hashgacha is Gluya, this is the problem we have. How much was said here by people after the Yom Kippur War? Where was God on Yom Kippur? I assure you that a book will be written, excuse me. I assure you a book will be written. Where was God on Simchas Torah? All right, I don't have such a shaila. I have just the opposite. Where were we when Shabbat and Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres fell together, and where at Woodstock? But we'll leave out my question. But the Chazon Ish is very powerful. Then you talk about Rabbanim, and I have to tell you, I personally, at times, you look back at great Rabbanim, and they made the wrong decisions. Imagine if in the 1880s, the greatest Rebbeim and Rabbanim would have told their people to go on Aliyah. Could you imagine what would be here? Be an entirely different religious atmosphere. Although we're getting there. We're getting to what would have been, what could have been, but we've paid a very heavy price along the way. You think of decisions that had to be made, so I just published the Rabbinic Authority. So I meet someone who tells me back, wow, I just heard a lecture from America, and they're talking about, and then I realize he heard a lecture, I don't want to mention this, someone very prominent, quoting my article, Rabbinic Authority. I said, who do you think wrote that? Who do you think revealed all this? I gave the... But there's a very serious question there. A question that I suffer from for the last 74 years at least. Had me yeshiva listened to Rabbi Chaim Meisel, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be an ignoramus. I hope I'd still be Jewish. I don't know what I would be. Just think, you know, there's Rabbanim. Who made the right decision? Look at what Rav Kook went through. You look back now on Rav Kook. Shichmo lemala mikol ha'am. And you can go on and on. It's not that the hashgachas gluya. You now have with the draft, the Haredim, statements that have been made are just unbelievable. We're going to leave Israel. Go chutz laretz. That one was outdoing the other. Another one came up already. We'd rather be dead than be in the army. Right or wrong? Nehareg v'lonit gayesh. It's beyond words. And then one out doing it. These are Rabbanim. These are Gedolei Yisrael. All right. Baruch Hashem. We have. But it's not gluya. It's not widespread. A lot of Akmas Nefesh. A lot of heartache. And you can go on and on with examples. And this is the Chazon Ish. These words are quoted and re-quoted. Bizman sheshkachato yitbarach gluya. Kimo bizman sheyuni sim. Mishmesh batko. Tzadiki hagot hachet hashkacha pratit. Hanireit la'ayin la'kol. Ah, ha'kofrim mazhu. That's when you have a din of kofrim, and all they're doing is a result. Batayat ha'yetzel tavat v'hef keirut. That's when it's really hefker. There's no one to teach them, no one to rebuke them. All right, then you have Woodstock, that's kulo apikursis, not like today. Today, the Western world, Woodstock, freedom of choice. Who are we? It's life. Rejoice. Tomorrow you'll be gone. No concept of revelation, no concept of human divine dignity. No concept of Torah history, of continuity. But once upon a time, that's when, all right, Oz haya bi'ur rishoyim gidlo shel olam. Then perhaps you wanted to get rid of the rishoyim because they caused so much harm in the world. And he says, may vi puraniyot lo olam oin vi vi devir chever rav ba'olam. When it's not tangible divine guidance at a time like that, ein b'maaseh horada yeda hapirza elahosafat hapirza sheyu beinehem kimaseh haschata va'alimut. Chasva Chalila. And the Chazon Ish is so powerful. Today you act negative, today you scream, you yell, you curse, you maledict. What do you accomplish? Look at these people, primitive, negative, causing anguish, heartache, machloket, controversy. What do you accomplish? And he says, that's why today, Kivin Shekol Atzmeinu L'Takein, Ein Hadin Rei B'Shash Ein Bo Tikun. very, his command of modern Hebrew was beautiful. To act in this fashion is only if it's positive. Today it will create nothing positive. And if that's the case, absolutely do not utilize the Rambam, the Halacha, Halacha l'maisa. V'aleinu l'hazirem b'avotot ahava u'lahamidan b'keren ora b'ma sheyadeinu magat. As much as we can, bring them back with love, affection, inspiration. Try our best to show them the light of Torah, the light of Jewish existence and continuity. Wow. This is the Chazon Ish. I trust you can understand why this Chazon Ish is so widely quoted. And if that's the case, think not only twice, think thrice before you use charamim and iduyim and you're pushing away mechalalei Shabbos, ochlei mevelet and treifa. Yeah. Oh, excuse me?
It's interesting because you have to figure that Chazon Ish wrote that sometime in the early 50s.
Right. So, it was published, right.
Yeah, but then during those years, that's exactly what would happen when somebody, they sat Shiva and
Right.
And today, really, this is the formula.
Right. No, today, what you're touching upon, first of all, the Chazon Ish, this is all during the Holocaust, during the terrible period, so it's all the more understandable, and we've suffered plenty. We had the founding of the State of Israel, it's attributed to the Brisk Rav, I think, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a bit of a kiss, that we had something beautiful. The Six-Day War, I don't have to tell you, was overwhelming in its impact. I'll talk about that tomorrow. It affects all that's happened here. But nevertheless, we can't say there's Hashgacha Geluya. But then when he talks about the Machloiket and what goes on in our camp, you understand very well why we can't say Kazera Eva Kadesh, only on a limited level. Chazon Ish, from all that I've gathered, and people joke about it, I've heard this already in Haredi circles, that if Chazon Ish walked in today to the Chazon Ish Kollel, they wouldn't let him in. You follow? His thinking was more liberal than it is today. But this is all part of the problem, because when you're in a ghetto, there's no challenge. If there's no challenge, then you're not going to interact with the world around you, and you become all the more involved and in your way of life. And this is part of the problem today. Suddenly you can't come to tens of thousands of Haredim and say, join the army. They're so distant from it. And the army is not prepared. But all right. I have confidence there's Rat Hashem, all these problems will be solved. The sooner the better. I don't want to, Halavai Mashiach should be here, but even without Mashiach, we have to solve these problems. And we'll get there, slowly but surely. But the Chazon Ish is very powerful, very powerful. Yes, Ephraim?
I think actually you alluded to that. You said they're not challenged here in the ghetto, but we see they are challenged.
Now.
There's a bit of a flailing there because they know they have to do something.
Yeah, no, I think what's happening now, the masses, you have a lot of individuals, I coined the term closet Zionists. They're part and parcel of the land. problem is that the Rebbeim and the Rosh Yeshiva are afraid of losing their followers. They're facing a situation. They didn't serve in the army. They were not part of the army. They view the army as the Zionistic dream. Yeah, but the Zionistic dream is the fulfillment of Eretz Yisrael. I'm Yisrael coming back to Eretz Yisrael. It's nothing to be afraid of or upset with. It's part of the miracle that's happening before our eyes. And you need a few people big enough to rise above the crowd. One individual who has risen to a certain degree is the Belzer Rebbe, and he already organized education, and he's part and parcel of the Israeli scene. Reb Shol Alter, in his breakaway from Reb Yaakov and all that's going on in Ger, is another example where you see another element that starts to understand what's happening here. All right, these are the problems. But halacha l'maisa, how do we treat the mayor of Tel Aviv? How do we treat Meretz? How do we treat Haaretz? And from the Chazon Ish, I can only say, kezerei v'kadesh. You can't yell, you can't shout, you can't curse, you can't maledict, you can't put in chayrim. But I would say to them, you know, take me and my brother. We came in Aliyah, unwanted, uncalled, unsought, many years ago. I came 69, my brother came 73. Look what we have built here, contributed here. Let's compare your descendants with our descendants. Okay. Mr. Haaretz, where are your great-grandchildren? What have your grandchildren done? Kezerei v'kadesh. The godlet. Tamura u'kitov. Shabbat. Look at Joe Lieberman's sefer, Senator Lieberman. Without Shabbat, he couldn't function the other 6 days. People would say to him, how can you be a senator and take off a day? If I don't have a Shabbat, I can't accomplish the other 6 days. There's, the greatest gift we gave the world was the concept that a human being needs one day to rest. 1/7 of his time. Today already there are countries where it's more than 1/7. So we've made such beautiful contributions. Kezerei v'kadesh, positive. Okay, but there's a lot of food for thought here. I wish we could give a black and white answer. But as Reb Menashe Klein says at the end of the tshuva, questions like this, there are no black or white answers. You have to understand the situation. You can't paskin. When I get a shayla, I got a shayla from South Africa a few weeks ago. So I paskin what I paskin, but I said my pasak is worthless unless your local rabbi agrees, because he knows the situation. We are far away. Today, Israel, I'm living here long enough to say I totally am integrated and know the situation. And did I tell you the story of the Brigadier General and myself drinking a cup of coffee and what he says to me? So you got to know what you're dealing with here. I was overwhelmed. I did some good things in my life. Among them was with the missing Sultan Yaakov, 1982. I got involved. I can't go into detail now, and I'm very limited what I can talk about because I'm under a security clause. But I did something very big there that ultimately changed the army policy, etc. So here I'm calling in intelligence from the Mossad, from the army. Every week we're doing something else, recreating the battlefield. What we're going through, you have no idea. And here, this brigadier general, the top person in the army, dealing with reconstruction of battlefield and all with the computer and all the modern world and all that can be done. And we're working and doing and doing. And finally, our meeting is over and we're allowed to open the door. And the secretary comes in right away. What can she bring us? A cake and coffee. You know, as a brigadier general, and people think Rakefet is somebody. All right, what can I do? Ah, and he says to me, Aaron, Ma Hareke Shelcha, what's your background? And I tell him, you know. And he looks at me and he says, you came an Aliyah. You're a third generation American. Ma chaser lecha Hashem. I couldn't believe my ears. You follow me, Kenny? And you're going to hear this from more people from Haaretz. And I heard this 20 years ago, maybe a little bit more. My wife, we're new in the country. She needs a dentist. We get a recommendation, Rehov Chalapa dentist. And she comes back crying. I look at her, oh, it was painful. No. The dentist takes care of her and then calls her every name in the book. Are you crazy? Coming in Aliyah? I'd give anything to live in America. It's what we're up against. And this is the Chazon Ish. You see, we're speaking to Allah. If on the state of Israel we're so far apart, what do you want? Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha? Tarat Mishpacha, by the way, we can make a very strong case that they do understand because they have taken sex out of life. Sex, mystical term. Eshet Nurim. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Bet. Please, look at the Gemara. It's a whole Amud there. They don't have it. It's gone. Sex to them, it's like, all right, Monday I eat in this restaurant, Thursday I eat in that restaurant. So what? What's lasting? What's concrete? Wow. You have no idea how powerful you can be dealing with Chaviv Labalav Kishnat Knisat Kalachupa. Okay, let me make one more very important point. We alluded to it last week. By the way, the next lecture, I don't care what I said, Jack, 72,000 shekel linked to the dollar, or $72,000 linked to the shekel, whichever way you want it, to the IOU list, the next one on the Sunday class. Vic, you won't believe your ears or the source I'm going to show you. But leave that for after you've eaten chametz again. Okay. Gentlemen, there's the big problem here. If we cut off the irreligious, just think for 1 minute, we said this last week, some of my greatest students in this very classroom, in Machon Gold, in Machal, in Michlala, in BMT, in Gross, parents Machal Alei Shabbos. How can you push away any Jew? You'll suffer with him, you'll tolerate him. But who knows what his children will become. And we've seen this so many times. It's overwhelming. I was in the rabbinate. You have no idea. You see me today, I'm a different person. 62 to 69, I was in Maplewood, South Orange. I built the shul from the ground. I went out of my way to Karev and to talk and What did I accomplish? So I want you to know, I get an email from someone listening to this Shayurim. He tells me who he is. This is a kid, a teenager from Maplewood, home, tray, filled with Shabbos, nothing. But you don't know the seeds you plant. You start the process. 50 years later, 60 years later, he's a total Ben Torah. He even used the European name of his family, not the Americanized name, as if to say to me, see, I've sought my roots. That's the story I told you with that reform. I needed someone to type my doctorate. I hired, read the introduction to Rebel. So there's a name there, Kathy Blank. She was the secretary of Rabbi Herbert Wiener, the Reform Rabbi. So when I met her, I said to Kathy, I want you to know, in my eyes, you're not Jewish. You're an Italian lady. Just we should understand each other. I'm never going to tell you, don't do this in Shabbat. Fine. She had a Reform conversion. I still remember her husband. He was a soldier when he met me. Do you know that 30, 40 years later, I get a call from Eish HaTorah. Eish HaTorah or Or Sameach, one of the two. Rabbi Rakefet, I'm saying. Someone wants to speak to you. This man gets on, tells me he's getting smicha, it's the Chag HaSmicha from Eish, or Or Sameach, and he tells me who he is. It's Kari Blank's son. He says, I was a kid of 12 years old when you told my mother, I overheard the conversation, that she's not Jewish. So it remained in my mind. Later, I grew up and I started to ask, who is Jewish? What is Judaism? You start to ask questions, you wind up being a mishpach from Eish, and they say that. We can't push away. Now, this is the Gemara in Sota. It's a very interesting Gemara, Daf Mem Vav Amid Bet in Sota. Look, Melachim Bet, Perik Bet, beginning on Pasuk Yud Chet, and it's talking about Elisha goes to Jericho, he makes the water better. Do you remember it? V'hamayim ra'im v'aretz mishakhalat, and he fixes the water, and after he fixes the water, vayal misham bedel, v'hu ole bederech unarim ktanim yatzu min ha'ir vayitkal subo vayomru lo alei kereach vayifenach harad vayareim vayekalaleim b'shem Hashem vatetzavena shtayim dubim min yacha vatavak ena meichem abaim ushnei yeladim. And wow, what a story that kids came up and they poked fun at him and they called him kereach. What does that mean? So I have here a photograph. It's the Tanakh I got when the fallout ceremony of my basic training. And this Tanakh, published by the army, has a commentary at the bottom. Kereach. HaKereach haya chashud al tzarat v'nechshav labal mum. The kereach is considered tzarat. That's why he has no hair. And he was considered a balmum. and the kids made fun of him. And as a result, two bears came out and killed 42 youngsters. Vayakalalem b'shem Hashem, Elisha cursed them, and bears came out and killed them. And the Gemara, what do you mean he cursed them? What happened here? And he was angry at them. And how do you curse 42 kids and bring about their death? And what does it mean, Vayifan Achara Vayarein, that he looked at them? What does it mean? He turned around and looked at them. And Chazal have a number of different interpretations. Shmuel Amar, Ra'a Shekulan Nitabra Barchen Niman B'Yom HaKippurim. Shmuel saw these kids were the result of the most illicit behavior their mothers had relations on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchama B'Lodat La'Bahem Kamurayim, they were totally assimilated. Their hair was like the Amorites. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ra'a Shelo Haita Bahem Lachluchat Shel Mitzvah. There wasn't a trace of any mitzvah. They were completely, completely non-religious. So the Gemara asked, V'dilma b'zarehu nihava havei? Maybe their children will be from. Maybe their children will be good. Why do you kill them? Omar Abalasa, lo bam v'lo b'zaram atzof kol hadarat. That they saw that these children, all their descendants, to all times, will never be good Jews. And that's why he killed them. Ephraim, you're walking along, you see a Mahalo Shabbos, you're furious. Tell me, do you know what his kids will be, his grandchildren will be? Max tripped over someone eating shrimp in pizza on my block. On my block, Rav Chaim Berlin, there's a Treif pizza place that serves seafood on pizza, Lo Aleinu. I should go over there and look at them and curse them and maledict them and kill them all. But only on one condition, that they'll never do tshuva, that you know none of their kids ever going to become B'nai Torah. Can we be on that level? See, this is another Gemara that is so powerful. Halacha ve'ein morin king. Chas v'chalila moridin v'lo ma'alim. You follow? All right. You can be angry, be mad. Maybe this person had the finest chinuch in the world and the finest parents in the world. And you can be angry. How did you become such an ice pop, such a bum? But even the worst bum in the world, none of us are in a ghetto today. The computer has turned the world into a little village. Yomo, the Rebbe had bad news this morning and good news this morning. The bad news you are responsible for to correct. You, Yosef Mordechai Gachman, you have been appointed by the Rebbe, but you don't. That's not enough for you. You've been appointed by Stephanie, Rabbi Bednash, Morty Tarrigan. The bad news for you to correct. The good news, Kenny, the judge hit a home run yesterday. Stanton hit a home run yesterday. Oh, Max, you know what the Rebbe's talking about? It's a global village. When I came in Aliyah three things we gave up. Two, oh, we had no ice cream in Israel. Kenny, they don't know what ice cream was like. Today, the ice cream, the winter, none whatsoever. The summer, an ice cream, a muscle of Columbus, but that ice cream tasted. Today, the ice cream in Israel, wow. Gave up the New York Times. We loved the New York Times. The hell with the New York Times today. Who wants a New York Times? But my wife has the New York Times. She loves the real estate. And she loves that Baruch Hashem. That's good, Max. But the third thing, baseball. Oh, what I hab ich gehungert for a stick of baseball, a little bit of baseball. Today, you got all the baseball in the world. Condensed game. 4 or 5 minutes, and the Rebbe's the happiest guy in the world on a morning that the judge got 2 hits. I think Stanton got 3. A greiser Glick hat mir getroffen. Ephraim, you can explain that to the class. My dear students, do you know Yiddish or not?
I don't know the distinctions between Glick and the various
things. A great mazel. Something wonderful happened to me today. The Maggio hit a home run. Oh, if that would happen, I would give a kiddush. Take my word for it. The Maggio, what he meant to us. Kenny, all that counts in life is Torah Tashem Tamima, but still, we live in a big world, and there is some influence. Take the good, forget the bad. Gentlemen, to reiterate, we have finished out all our shirim in the Sunday class until Pesach. At the end of the tshuva on this question, Rav Menashe Klein says, it's a very difficult question. It depends upon the situation. You have to use a lot of seichel. Halacha l'maisa, don't push someone away. You can always be makarev and hope for the best. When you push them away, you leave a scar. Once there's a scar, it's very difficult to undo that scar. That's the tshuva, that's the Chazon Ish, that's the Gemara, that's Elisha HaNavi, worth thinking about. And halacha l'maisa in the state of Israel today, this is part of our challenge. I'll come back to it tomorrow. The week after Pesach ends, what is it, on a Monday, I believe? Am I correct? And so it's a week later, Sunday, Monday, we pick up classes again. I think it's May 5th and 6th. Mashahu Kazel. Let's see if I wrote down the dates. Yeah, May 5th and 6th. We pick up, and the next tshuva is overwhelming what I'll show you. It's continuing with, again, the same question. How do we deal with the irreligious? How do we deal with people who think differently? How do we deal with the munkacha? Wow. And when I was a kid, I used to hear these stories. I didn't believe it. Today I have sources to show you right in front of me. God bless the computer. What an invention. And what a terrible invention when it's used negatively. Zoom shut off because Yomo didn't take exams and had a combat the Iranians. Gentlemen, tomorrow, 9 o'clock sharp, we start a very special lecture. One of a kind. We were the cover of Torah Tidbits. If you saw it, we brought a little miracle into the world, and I want this miracle to go bigger and bigger and bigger. Yomo, And I want to thank us. God bless you people for coming. And God, ani modela Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he gave me the strength to overcome bad news and go further in dignity this morning. Okay, muted. Let's see if anyone has a question. Yeah. Are there any questions from around?
Recording stopped.
Okay.
Rebbe, tomorrow it'll be on your regular link.
If I could answer you, I wouldn't be Aaron Rakefet. Direct your questions to Yomo. He's getting paid a salary to spare me the heartache of the damn computer, which has destroyed my teaching abilities. Okay?
It's just one problem. The Zoom account depends on Rebbe's YU account, and YU insists that people who own their accounts take security digital security training.
So you were authorized to
take... I am not allowed to take Rebbe's... because he's the owner of the account, and he's the one who has to take
it. You don't know what I'm up against.
Stephanie told me, even Rabbi Berman has to take these. Every owner of the account
has
to take
it. How dare you mention Rabbi Berman, my student and my president.
That's what Stephanie said. I'm just repeating what Stephanie said.
Half my age. I can't answer. I don't know what's going on, but I'm up against...
This is what I was told. Every owner of the account has to take these videos. We can take it together, and I'm not against it.
I can't take them for Rabbi. Shliach. To take the account
and
do it.
It's not so hard. How hard can it be?
It's not very hard. It takes time. It takes time.
I took five of them. It's a shtuyat.
It's not about hard. It takes time. A lot of time.
And then takes
tests.
Okay, one second. I'll meet you here tomorrow, 6:30. We'll start the test. Okay, that's all. How many do we have to do?
If we do all of them, we'll probably finish by 9 o'clock.
So let's start now. Do part now and part tomorrow at 6:30. That's all. Okay, are there any other questions?
What you said about two people. First of all, Ralph Lauren, the designer.
Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lipschitz. He's as straight as they come. He and his wife, I think they're serious conservative Jews, maybe, which is a lot better than a lot of the fashion world. So I think he went to MTA too, but he didn't graduate.
One second. But he's not a homo?
I once met one of his kids. I remember a friend of mine.
One second. You make me very, very happy because there's someone from Solanta who became a fashion designer. Mizrahi, I think is the name.
Yeah.
And he's the homo?
Yeah.
Ah, so he's the one. But I want to apologize. Ralph Lauren Lipschitz is a tzaddik yisod olam that he conquered the world. And he's a conservative Jew. He didn't throw it all away. Does he give stucker to good causes?
I hope so.
Okay.
I saw something because of what you said, the life apart. I saw that one of the people who made it passed away a few months ago. And they said his last movie was all about the lifta outside of Yerushalayim and how, you know, the Arabs were never thrown out of it in 1948. And he really went off making these, I don't know, the sickness people have goes pretty deep. I don't know. So.
No, the sickness begins with the Israeli foreign ministry that should publish advertisements all over the world quoting the Bible that God gave us the land. I challenge Biden to say publicly, I don't believe in the Bible, it has no relevancy today. And then I challenge the church to put him in cherem, okay? So this is our problem. I hear we took away their land, Who does this land belong to? Okay, and at least the Bible Belt will salute us, Be'ez Rav
Hashem. Rebbe, you know, it says, and Rashi says, Koach Masav Higid La'amo, so it says Rashi is saying that it's not the non-Jews who need to be convinced of this. It's Koach Masav Higid La'amo. The Jews first have to be convinced that they're right.
This is our big problem. The Jews in America who tell Biden, his own family, and DeMary, and Blinken, and Nides, and their ilk. And this is our big problem. We're dealing here with Jews who Moridin v'yein malin, and we have to be melamed zchut that they were raised that way. No one ever exposed them to Torah Hashem Tamima, which is our problem. All right, until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya.